So last week, we did 2 points on a sermon about James. And the first point was, use your tongue the right way. The second one was, don't start or fan the flame. Last week, I gave a list of things that absolutely drives me insane. It drives me crazy. It's almost an instant upset anger. Almost. It's kind of there, you know, you're ready to, but you say you have to stop. I gave a list of those things. Most of them were on the road, driving, you know. People drive me crazy on the road. And so I told you guys that on my day off, I like to go see my fiance and we meet halfway and everything. And I develop a list of things that drives me nuts of people on the highway, because a lot of them are pretty reckless, you know, and things that don't make sense. So so what happened was, after church, she actually drove down to this area because she had to go to the airport to go to General Counsel in Florida. So she took the flight. And so so the next day, I took her to the airport. And so I'm driving down the road and, you know, one of those incidents happens that drives me crazy. This guy comes up in front of me and he cuts me off to get over, and then he slams his brakes, and then he kind of, just to make it all in right, he then honked his horn at me, and I was just driving. And without saying a word to her, she kind of patted me on my arm. She said, "It's not worth it, honey." And I thought, how does she know that makes me mad? How does she know that? And then she said, "I listened to your sermon on the way down yesterday. I know that drives you crazy." I said, "Well, I'm glad you know, because I'm ready to leash out. Oh my goodness, it drove me insane what that guy did." But anyway, there's things that just drive me crazy. There's another one that came to mind that just makes me mad. You know, I'm a guy, and we're pretty simple. And so when I got to go to the grocery store, it's like a mission, you know? It's like a black ops mission. You know, you got to go in, you got to get this, you got to get, there's a two or three things. You know what it is. You probably looked ahead of time which aisle it was on. And you go in there, you get it, you get out, we're done, and usually time yourself. That's usually how I work. And so when you're on the mission, you're on aisle 8 or whatever, and you're going down, and there's somebody who parks their cart sideways in the middle of the aisle, and you can't go around them. Now, if that's you, God bless you, okay? I don't hold it against you, but that drives me insane. Because you have to sit there and wait. And on top of that, they're in their own little world, you know. They're just, "Oh, let me see. Should I get that? You know, I don't, you know." And they're just all in their world, and you just want to go, "Move!" I'm like that. I don't say it, but I'm thinking it. Here's another one that drives me crazy. When you're texting someone, and it takes them forever to write back, and we all have things we're busy with, but they text back just the letter K. But it's not the uppercase K, it's the lowercase K. There's just something about that that drives me crazy. It's like you went out of your way to lowercase the K, and you could have just put okay. So to me, that's like going out of your way to say, "I don't care." That just drives me crazy. You know, little things like that. Oh my goodness, the next day after church, I went to Hobby Lobby. Now I know that's the anointed store, I know that. But sometimes people make mistakes, so I go in there to get some paint thinner, okay? Because, you know, I like to paint on my free time, and so I ran out of paint thinner. So I go up to the front, and the lady says, "There's no price tag on this." I said, "Oh, okay." So she said, "We got to get a price tag." So she says, "Let me talk to my manager." So she, Becky, would you please come to the front? Okay, so we're waiting. We wait, and we wait, and we wait, and we wait. There's no Becky. I said, "Okay." Meanwhile, there's a line going all the way to the back, all looking at me, going, "What's wrong with this guy? Does he know how to check out?" But I will say this, I did finally download the app, so I have the coupon now. I really got chastised whenever I bought something for the church, you know, and I didn't have that coupon. Oh my God, I got it now. So that did work. But anyway, so I'm sitting there, and it just builds up. "Oh, no Becky, no Becky." I'm like, "Come on, Becky, where are you? Everybody's looking at me. This is driving me crazy." So then she calls another person to come up, and the other person comes up and says, I'm not authorized to do that, this and that. So we wait. And then the lady says, "Why don't you just Google it?" And I almost said, "That's your job, not mine." But I didn't. And I said, "Well, I can, but there's different sizes of paint thinner." You know, I was really trying to be, I was speaking real clear, you know, because I wasn't trying to be mean. You know those types of people? "I would really like to, but there's different sizes, and I don't want to get the size for the small one, and it's the large can." And in my mind, I'm like, I want to just explode on these people. It's nothing wrong with the lady that was checking me, you know, the cashier, not, you know, it was the system failed and nobody could fix it. And it drove me insane. I literally told myself, Sean, you better think about this before you say something. And I did. But something else came to mind too when I was in line. And it was this. What if there's somebody there who's watching you and you don't know it? And they know that you're a Christian. They know you're a churchgoer. They know that you serve in the church. And they see you explode on that person. Where's the witness go? You know, a lot of times we're in those situations where our tongue, which is so small, a part of the body, can control our entire thought process and really just ruin our witness and reputation. And last week, James used analogies. He used imagery. He used examples. The first one he used was a bit in a horse's mouth. All right, he's chomping at the bit. That little bit can control an entire animal that's very big and strong and can do big things. A horse can jump fences. It can carry people. It can carry weight. It can do things that are so powerful with so many muscles. And that little bitty piece of metal controls that horse. Second one was a rudder on a boat. Now, whether it be a small boat, like in this situation, the small rudder, or a large ship. Now, that's a big rudder, but that's pretty small compared to a ship. That little thing controls an entire ship, where its destination wants to go. He also used a spark to start a fire. A lot of destruction that we see in wildfires starts with something small. Whether it be a spark of some kind, it can turn into something that's destruction. The tongue, among all things, in verse 6, as he says, the tongue is a flame of fire. That's what James says. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting the entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. So he uses a bit. He uses a rudder. He uses a spark as our tongue, as destruction. Now, we're talking about here, what we're talking about is what we say. Our heart's connected to our mind. Our mind's connected to our mouth. And what we say, that's where it is. So we have to find out what is it that can keep us from going out of the way to ruin our witness and our reputation as believers in Christ. So how do we do that? How about this? How do people get to the rise of power? How did Adolf Hitler, for example, how was Hitler able to get up to the rise of Germany? He didn't have a lot of weapons and destruction to get to that point. He worked his way up through the ranks, and now all of a sudden he's controlling Germany. He's got 100,000 people at his rallies, all chanting his name. Saddam Hussein's another example, more of a modern approach. He was an evil, evil person, and for years and years there was a lot of destructive, terrible things that he did to the people there as the president. How did he get to that point? You know how they got to that point? Words. They said words and put people against each other or people together, and he deceived them. Both of them did. Friends, I'm here to tell you right now, we may not be able to, we probably won't be responsible for the killing of 6 million Jews or thousands upon thousands of people in other countries, but our tongues can tear apart our families. Our tongues can tear apart relationships, friendships, marriages, and even churches. Satan uses the tongue and puts people against one another with words, just words. It starts small and then it gets big into a wildfire. It quickly spreads into destruction. Some people have the mentality that we can just go ahead and say what we want to say and then just apologize later. But friends, I'm here to tell you, we do need to apologize, we do need to reconcile, but that is not a pure fix. Our mentality has to be, we have to speak with controlled mouth and language. We have to let the Spirit guide us, not just go out there unwisely and say things that are in the heat of the moment and let our flesh take over. And then that's whenever we regret what we say and we have to go back and apologize. And we're not promised a reconciliation. Right. Remember, words are like fire. We can use words to keep us warm, or fire to keep us warm. We can use fire to heat things up. We can keep fires to cook things, make things great, and fire can be used to make all destruction happen. Fire can be used to destroy houses, destroy land, destruction. And when it gets out of control, it's hard to stop it. Words are the same way. Because James says in verse 6, the tongue is full of wickedness. Full of wickedness. Not greatness, wickedness. This means that the tongue can destroy all the good that we have built up for over a lifetime. Isn't that not fair? You know, you're living right, you're doing good, you're doing the right things, and you just have one bad day, one of those perfect bad days where every single thing goes wrong, you know, and then you blurb out something and everything you've worked on is now back to square one. It happens. With our human minds, it's pretty natural. You're not crazy if you say something out of line, folks. It's called being human nature. So that's why we have to be able to walk with the Spirit and help us and think before we speak. The Life Application New Testament Commentary says this, quote, our speech has a power that few other capabilities possess. For our tongue can be set on fire by hell itself. Flames of hate, prejudice, slander, jealousy, and envy seem to come from the very lake of fire where Satan will be punished. That's pretty deep. The evangelical commentary on the Bible says this, quote, the tongue can be used to encourage, evangelize, and endear, and then it can be used to criticize, mock, and curse. Same mouth, same person. Just by saying words, folks. We have to be able to think before we speak. We have to. Because even as the old pastor, Billy Salatom, the old pastor, I'm not old, but the pastor here has to check myself as well. Because there's a lot of times where we're not in our right mindset. We're not at the right state. And I'll just be honest with you, in my personal life, if I'm not reading the Word of God and sticking with God, it doesn't take long where I'm back to my old ways. And I'm serious. We have to be able to walk in the Spirit. Which brings me to my third point, which is simply this. Words can hurt. They can. Growing up, there would be a bully in school or, you know, somebody would say something to a kid and the teacher would always say the poem, just remember, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I think that's great. But when you think about it, I was thinking about this the other day. You know that song had to be written because it hurt somebody. And they said that so that way they'd feel better. Now, it's true. Words, you know, that doesn't physically hurt. And you don't listen to everything everybody says. A lot of people say things that is foolish and can get under your skin. I get that. But when it comes to people that you love and that you hold close to, those words hurt. They hurt. People that you trust, people that you consider a friend or a brother or sister, mother, father, husband, wife, when they say those words, I don't care who you are, it hurts. Because you care about those people. When we minister to others, same thing. When we minister to other people and we say words that can hurt, they hurt. Or they remember. I think there's probably times and situations where you distinctly remember a situation where somebody said something and you remember word for word. I do. I also remember times where I spoke out of turn or out of line and said something I shouldn't have. I remember those words as well. Words do hurt. So there's four things that you can do daily to make sure you're in the right mind. The first one is let God guide your heart, not you. A few months ago, I gave you a list of things about what the human heart says. And the human heart doesn't say it's a good thing. The human heart's hardened, it's corrupt, it's evil, it's wicked, it's envy, it shows jealousy, it's corrupt. That's what the human heart is in the Bible. Don't follow your own heart. Heard that all the time? Follow your heart. Well, if you're going to follow your heart, the tongue's going to take over eventually. And it's going to be the rudder that controls the boat that you don't want to control. Right? Second one is, let the Bible be your answer, not your own. The human heart's bad. The human heart connected to the mind. And the mind says what's there. Let the Bible be there and control you. You're in a situation. You don't know what to do. Well, what does the Bible say about it? Maybe read on it, meditate on it. What does it say? Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Holy Spirit, I need you to guide me in this situation. Guide me, O Lord. Not your own answer. Now, a lot of us are very intelligent and smart and wise, yes. But whenever we're not in our right mind or state, and we don't let the Bible be our answer, we may regret that later. Third one is, let your mind meditate on the Lord, not yourself. If you want to be a good Christian, it's not all about you. Jesus says, take up your cross and go. Sacrifice happens when you're a Christian. A lot of times you're in the minority. You know, a lot of people claim to be Christian, but true Christians show it, and they're different from the world. Okay? So let your mind meditate on the Lord, not yourself. When you start meditating on other things that are not godly, it'll eventually seep in. And eventually your tongue will take over in that wrong state and the wrong mindset. Fourth one is, let your heart go after God's heart, not your own. That's kind of like number one, but I just want to reiterate that. Let your heart go after God. What's God's heart? Right. You know, David made a lot of mistakes, but God said he's a man after my own heart. Why don't we do that as well as believers today? I'm going to ask Dustin if he would come up at this time. We're going to go into a time of communion. We want to have our minds right. You know, because a lot of times we get a little bit distracted. We turn on the news and you saw what happened on the news yesterday. Things that can get you all wrapped up in whatever it may be. But when you let God guide your heart, you go after God's heart, and you let your mind meditate on the Word and not other things around you, you'll begin to see your walk with God. You'll begin to grow with the Lord and grow with other people. And then you'll look back and you'll go, you know what? 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when that situation happened, I would have acted differently. But since I'm meditating and walking with the Lord, it's different now. You'll begin to see it, folks. I'm telling you. It happened to me as well. I challenge you this week, friends. If you haven't already, I want you to reach out to people. There may be somebody on your mind right now. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now and saying, you need to reach out to this person. It may be something that happened years ago or just happened this morning. I don't know. God does, and you know, and it's between you and God. And I want to let you know that when you reach out and reconcile and say, you know what, man, or whoever it may be, friend, family, husband, wife, when you reach out and say, you know what, I want to be able to let this go. Maybe you're the one that was offended and you're hard to forgive. It's hard to forgive. Words hurt, friends. They hurt. I want you to release that. Release it. Don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to those words that were said. Now, I don't know what the outcome will be. The outcome may be the person saying, I forgot about it. Don't worry about it. Or the outcome may be, it's been bothering me too, but let's talk about it. Or the outcome may be, don't ever talk to me again. But you know what? You reached out and you tried and you did all you could do. And now you can begin the process of healing. We have to be able to be in the right mindset, friends. We have to. Walk with the Lord. Father God, I pray right now, Lord, as you speak to this congregation, this wonderful church, Lord, I pray right now, put into our hearts what you want us to go after. If you want us to go after the Word of God, give us specific things, oh God. Lord, I pray if there's people that we need to reconcile with, that we reach out at this time, Lord, that we reach out to reconcile. We go and we try to make it right. We know this, Lord, because in your Word, that whenever people were giving to you, Lord Jesus, you told them to reconcile first before you give offering. Put it in our hearts, Lord. Give us peace during this time. Guide us, oh God. May we meditate on your Word day and night, and may we pray to you continually in the good and the bad. May we always be an example for you, oh Lord. I pray for each and every individual who is reaching out this week. Lord, I pray that you just be there and show them that you're there and that they can do this. That they can do this, Lord. Oh, Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.